Question. What, on the other hand, ought to be the reciprocal actions of man towards their guardian angels? Answer. St. Bernard says that man ought to show to his guardian angel 1. Reverence for his presence. He does this by recognizing the presence of the angel every place whithersoever the man goes, and by doing nothing in his presence which, were the angel visible to his mortal eye, he would not dare to do. 2. Devotion and affection for the angel's benevolence. The angel is to be beloved, says St. Bernard, because presently he loves us more than parent or friend, and guides towards heaven with a love that is inferior only to that of Jesus Christ who died for us, or his blessed mother, and because hereafter in heaven we will be brethren and co-partners in the same inheritance of glory. 3. Unbounded confidence in his protection. We can have no fear when such a guide is by. He cannot be seduced. He cannot be overcome. The young Tobias called in terror to his guide when the huge fish with its open jaws rushed towards him. The holy guide from heaven told him at once what to do. He did it and was saved, and not only saved himself, but he saved others also. St. Bernard sums up thus beautifully. They are powerful. They are prudent. They are faithful. Why then do we fear? Only let us follow them, only let us cling to them, and we will ever remain in God's protection. All their devotion to us, and all their indebtedness to them, is sweetly told in that little hymn which we were taught when children, and which we, in our turn, ought never to fail to teach little children. Dear angel, ever at my side, how loving must thou be, to leave thy home in heaven to guide an erring child like me. We ought to teach little children to say the prayer to our guardian angel and often to repeat it ourselves. O angel of God, to whose holy care I am committed by the divine clemency, enlighten, guard, guide, and govern me. Amen. Question. Do angels grieve over the evil deeds of those they guide? Answer. Strictly speaking, angels cannot grieve, for they are always in the possession of the beatific vision, and no sorrow can therefore come to them. In human conversation, however, we sometimes speak of them as afflicted with sadness and full of shame. But about the good acts of those they guide, there seems no reason to doubt their gratification. Our blessed Lord says, "There is more joy in heaven over one sinner that does penance than over 99 just." And if the angels in heaven rejoice over a poor penitent's act, much more the angel guardian of that penitent. Question. In respect of the irrational, immaterial world, what are their duties? Answer. To preserve them according to the intention of God in creating those things, to see that demons do not injure them or make use of them for wicked purposes, and finally to direct and preserve them for their destined end in creation. Question. What is the duty of those angels who have guardianship over the universal world? Answer. Their duty is, to use a homely figure, a sort of stewardship, to see that subordinate angels carry out God's designs, and that no clash or rupture happens in the order and harmony of the world.